brother. What's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number, and my partner in crime is here. It's Friday. Oh, I'm sorry. Good morning, Sam. How you doing? I don't mean that you're my partner
in crime. I guess I'm not the partner in crime. You know, I'm only here every day, Earl.
She's a witness.
My partner in crime, Sandy Williams, is here. It's Friday. How you doing, Sandy?
Well, I'm okay. It's the end of the week. Every week seems to be a turmoil out there in the, you know, the world's a spin.
Let me ask you, it's the end of the week, you're retired, I'm retired.
Actually, it's Good Friday, which I never understood as a kid why it was called Good Friday. I'm sure someone more knowledgeable about the liturgy would describe why the day that
he was
crucifixion
murdered.
Occurs is the Good Friday. But
I don't know either. On yesterday, I spent some time.
And it's Passover? And it's Ramadan, too. So we've got the convergence of all these things, which has the unusual effect in the Mideast of causing rioting and killing in Palestine.
You know, yesterday, Sandy, or it might have been the day before, I lose track of the days and what we talked about. But I talked about the fact that this country, religion, is kind of losing its grip on the American people.
Well, it's funny because if you do surveys and you find out how many people are going to church or belong to church, it's gone way down. But if you look at politics and the extent to which political issues and social issues are being controlled by apparent religious interest groups, it seems to have gone up. So it's like the ranks have gone down, but their fervor and their political activity and power has maybe gone up, which is it's an interesting dynamic.
Well, that if you're talking about evangelicals, certainly their connection to politics has I don't know if it's always been that way or if Donald Trump is the guy.
Well, no, I think it started with there's a fellow named Rex Reed. Rex Reed,
yeah.
who is a lobbying influence and head of a Christian right organization. And I think it began with him, which was back, I think, in the Newt Gingrich period, where Newt understood the connection that he could make between the religious right and conservative politics.
You know, I don't remember. If Pat Robinson and what are some of the other guys? Billy Graham,
Oral Roberts,
they weren't that, you know, openly.
No, in fact, I remember Billy Graham used to be invited to the White House, regardless who was president. He was sort of every president's evangelical pastor.
Yeah,
and it's changed now. It's become much more partisan.
Yeah, it has, and then you look at the fact that many churches are in dire straits because they've lost parishioners,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you're in my generation, for the most part, when we were, you know, young kids, we were going to church. It was you know, expected of us that we at least would get that religious foundation. As I stated on yesterday, I haven't been a part of a church or in church for a long time now. So many of us have basically kind of left that. And I was having a discussion on whether or not it was, it was a better society when we had that, at least the foundation when we were young.
Well, in churches, I mean, there is if you look at churches generally and religion generally, it would seem that part of the mission of that is to create a value system,
right,
amongst the populace. It's not apparent to me that churches necessarily imbue the value system in a manner in which the members walk the walk, but there's a lot of talking the talk.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's interesting. I think my son, my oldest son, has been doing some social research that relates to, directly to this issue. And I think we're now at a point where a majority of Americans are not members of churches.
That's correct. Yeah. And so that's why I was having the discussion. With Easter coming up and Good Friday and all those things. You remember when we were kids and how much our parents really made sure that that happened.
Yeah.
And those traditions are dying out.
Yeah, I'm afraid, like my grandchildren, I'm not sure how connected they are. Some of them are quite connected, I guess, to religion. But for some of them, at least, Easter might just be the time when they go to the grandparents' house to find plastic eggs loaded with money around the yard. Which, you know, makes for a fun Easter, I guess.
Let's see, Sam. Plastic eggs loaded with money. What's the address?
Is there an age restriction?
you know, Sandy, you don't see the kinds of horrific things happening, or we didn't see the kind of horrific things happening in the nation, you know, once when people had that foundation. I'm not saying that it was a perfect time, but some of the things that are going on in the society now kind of point towards a soulless kind of person.
I wonder whether the kind of religion that is now that people are currently active in, whether the values that they're actually imbuing into their members are good ones. But I do think religion has generally had the impact of putting values into society, values like tolerance. And my problem with the Christian right now is I'm not sure tolerance is part of the game, because an awful lot of what gets talked about, at least, is who should be excluded from the political world, right? You know, transgenderism and things. I mean, is that a reflection of tolerance when there's a great deal of attention paid to how people ought to be excluded or excoriated? Or?
Well, Christ was about tolerance,
right?
For the most part, and so to judge others was in direct opposition to what Christ talked about and what he represented. Judge ye not, least ye be judged. If you just go by that component, then there's nothing for you to say about another person, right?
Exactly. So, that my concern maybe is that it's, again, like I've suggested, that I think our politics reflects our society. It could be that these religions, which are sort of rootless in terms of their foundation, when they were formed or when they were established, they tend to be ad hoc religious organizations that come together and declare themselves to be evangelical. And it worries me that their foundational values that they're actually emphasizing might not be the kind that were reflected in more traditional religion.
You know, Sandy, I want to move to this story, because this story is bigger than the war in Ukraine and all other stories. You know, it's the number one story, you know, and I don't know why we can talk about anything else without talking about Elon Musk looking to take. I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, I don't quite. I mean, obviously, he's looking to take it over.
I know, but why? You know.
Well, and he says that he wants to make sure that it's a platform that assures freedom of speech, which I presume means that it would be possibly almost completely unfiltered.
Yes.
And the currently Twitter has algorithms that filter the speech, and it's, some of it was in response to all of the hue and cry that came up over the Trump use of Twitter and the exploitive use maybe of it in terms of spreading stories that might not have any foundation in fact. So I think it's that. You know, Elon Musk is an unusual character.
Yeah, I heard him say yesterday, I can afford it. Well, yeah, I'm sure you can. Yeah. $46 billion is a drop in the bucket.
Well, it's about a fifth of what he's worth.
Yeah.
But it's not like he's throwing it away either. It's $46 billion of value in a company which could well end up being worth $90 billion, or it could be worth $30 billion, but it's still a drop in his bucket.
You look at this and clearly he's got a reason a guy like that is not going to invest that kind of money unless he has a hidden agenda.
He's clearly a brilliant guy, and you know he'll be in the future when they look back at this time, he'll probably be looked at as someone a little bit like Edison or others who were inventors and eccentrics. A guy who smokes pot on TV and gives his child a name that is. It is symbols. Some of the kids' name are symbols on your typewriter.
Right.
So I don't know how to pronounce that.
They had another one and did the same thing.
What do you call it?
I could not tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. But so he's an unusual character. Yeah. So I mean, to ask me what is Elon Musk thinking when he's doing this? I don't know.
Yeah, so we've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll delve a little deeper into Elon Musk because, this guy's going to be around for a while, and yeah. He's going to be setting some standards that, we may come to, rule a day that we got to know who this guy is, but he's going to be in the future. Conversation, no question whatsoever. Got to go to break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Sandy Williams is in the house. We're glad he's here. We'll be right back.